Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's weekly Yap podcast, the Yes And podcast. My name is Travis Thomas. So great to have you joining us on this podcast. This is episode 19. That means next week is the big episode 20, and really excited about that, which I think you guys will be excited about that guest. That'll be Brian Reekers talking about angels. So should be super, super interesting. But we are at episode 19, and I'm so excited to bring back one of my favorite guests, and she must be one of your favorite guests as well, because her podcast remains sort of as one of the top listened to Yes And podcasts. And that is Heather Medford, who is the life coach for kids here in Palm Beach. And she is also Happiness Heather, the creator of the Heather's Happiness Hour, which meets here once a month here in Palm Beach County. But before we get to that, just a quick update with some fun and exciting things going on, and the biggest one being that yours truly, Travis Thomas, I'm talking about myself in third person now. Yes, me. I have ventured into the world of Periscope, and after a couple of great recommendations, I have ventured into the world. And so every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, I do a Periscope or a scope called Yes And Live. Now, my company is called Live Yes And. My Periscope is called Yes And Live because it is a daily live interaction with me. And for those of you who are new to Periscope, Periscope is this great video tool which allows you to watch live talks, watch live performances, but you're able to give feedback and comment live, and the speaker gets to see your comments. And so it's an interactive discussion. So each morning, I'm going to share something, an idea, an insight, something inspiring in the realm of what it means to live yes and to have a yes and mindset. But it's your opportunity to interact with me live in the moment, to answer or to ask questions that I can respond to, and just have, and it's an avenue for me to just interact and share ideas on a day-to-day basis. So I'm really excited about that. Again, that's on Periscope. You can follow me, Travis Thomas, at Live Yes And on Periscope. And I would love to hear from you every morning and when you can make it. So that'd be great. I'm going to continue to do the weekly Yap podcast every week, which is an opportunity for me to get more in depth into a principle of what it means to live yes and, as well as interview amazing people out there who are demonstrating how to overcome adversity, how to overcome obstacles in their everyday life using kind of this positive yes and mindset. The way I'm thinking about it right now, as again, I'm almost 20 podcasts into this, is I'm just an ordinary guy who gets to interview people who are doing the extraordinary. And that's what inspires me, and that's what I love to do, and sharing their stories with you at large. So I'm really excited about that. And I love getting feedback from all of you. My brother, who is such kind of a knowledgeable guy on so many things, who listens to the podcast, and he's going, you know what? You know when you interview people, the quality probably dips out. And so without even me asking, he is helping me find a better tool for me to do higher quality interviews, not the content, but the actual audio quality. And so a shout out to Tiger, my brother, for caring enough to want to help with the audio quality. And I want to give a shout out to a good friend of mine, Laura, for telling me that, you know what, the microphone that I'm using for this actually sounds really good. So thank you, Laura, for your feedback, and to all of you who are helping make the weekly Yap as positive and as effective as possible. So thanks to all of you. So really excited to talk to Happiness Heather. My wife and I have gone to a few of her in-person talks, and it's been great just as a community event, but also as a way to just connect with a different topic each month. And so I have found tremendous value in it. And what I also feel is really special about this episode is that, and we get into it right away, is that Heather has just kind of celebrated her last medical treatment for her cancer. She is cancer-free. And so just a great thing to acknowledge and celebrate. But she did not want this podcast to focus on that. But we can't help but get into it right away. I also want to apologize that the probably the first 10 minutes of the interview, we recorded this, not in the Toyota Prius, but in a coffee shop here in Jupiter called Coffee Culture, which is a very fun and comfortable coffee shop. It just so happens, as we started recording the podcast, that it got really, really loud. And so I think you will be able to hear us really well, but there is a lot of background noise behind us. But trust me, if you stay with us, it does get quieter as the podcast goes on. So without further ado, let's jump into that podcast with Happiness Heather. Enjoy. Welcome back to the podcast. And now before we kind of jump into things, I know we've just gotten through the holidays in 2016, but for you, it's you kind of have reached sort of a benchmark on its own as far as, and that being on Christmas Eve, you received sort of your last medication treatment for cancer. And so that's kind of the close of a chapter. Can you talk a little bit about what that feels like and how that's been?
Yeah, it was actually, I was a little more emotional than I was expecting. Like I said before when we spoke, I had breast cancer. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in December of 2014. And I was pretty sure on December 22nd that I had cancer. We didn't have the pathology back, but all the signs were there and it was looking pretty for sure. And so I just kind of had this thought, okay, well, that's just what I'm doing for the next year. I'm doing cancer for the next year and let's do it. Let's get the show on the road and let's do it. So my last chemotherapy treatment was actually in April, which I thought was going to be really emotional and that I would feel, I don't know, happy and excited that it was over, which I did feel, but it was kind of anticlimactic. It was just kind of like, okay, chemotherapy's done and I have radiation next and then I'll have surgery. But it just was kind of like, okay, we're done. I did have to have one drug, Herceptin, for a whole 12 months. So I was going to have to continue to go once every 3 weeks to the chemo room to have the infusion. The nice thing about Herceptin is I didn't have any negative side effects from it, so it was super easy. But my last treatment was actually on Christmas Eve this year. And I had so many people say, oh, that sucks. I can't believe you have to go in for a treatment on Christmas Eve. And I thought, are you kidding? That's the best gift ever.
Yeah.
That my last treatment is on December 24th,
yes.
Actually. And that day was kind of emotional, even though I didn't have any negative side effects for the last, you know, however many months since April. It was just like, oh my gosh, I did it. It was, okay, it was more than 1 year. It was 367 days, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
And I'm on the other side, and it's been amazing. So.
Well, I know the more we talk, the more, you talk about just like, you've got bigger fish to fry, and you're ready to move on. You're ready to do big things. But I think there's probably so many people who are listening who are like, but you beat cancer, and that's such a big thing on its own. Is there an idea? Is there something that you learned through that year that whether it was about yourself that maybe was unexpected or you didn't know you were going to learn as a result of having to go through this?
Well, one, I never knew how loved and supported I was. That part was amazing. I really am very lucky to have experienced that much love and support. I know that, you know, a lot of people with cancer don't have that many people, mm-hmm. or they don't feel loved and supported. So for me, I was very, very lucky to have that piece in place. I've always, for a long time, wanted to write a book, and I kind of thought that I would write a book about my journey through cancer because I did maintain a very positive, optimistic outlook. When I was going through chemotherapy and was on the floor in the bathroom feeling like I was going to throw up, I just had to remind myself, this is temporary. It is going to pass. It sucks right now, but it is going to pass. So I maintained this amazingly positive outlook, and I thought, oh, I could write a book about how to go through cancer being optimistic. And in the end, all said and done, I don't really have that. It's not, I don't have the fire. I don't have the passion to write about going through cancer. Like you said, I feel like I just want to help everybody live a happy life and be optimistic and have that, understand the power of positivity and what it can do for you. And I don't really identify with cancer. I don't feel like, oh, I'm a cancer survivor. I mean, I am a cancer survivor, and I'm happy to have that year behind me, and it was a hard year, but it's not who I am. It's part of my story. It's part of my journey, but it's not who I am. And for a while, I felt like it should be who I was, and I kind of struggled with that a little bit. But I finally have come to terms with it's not who I am. It's not consuming. I don't feel like that defines me.
Well, that seems like such a huge idea right there, because I feel like a lot of people who have gone through or are dealing with cancer, it becomes such a huge part of your identity and can become a huge part in a very negative way. If you could go back to December 22nd of 2014, or if there's someone who's listening to this who has just had a similar recent diagnosis, what's your words of encouragement? What's your words of advice to them or to yourself in that moment, knowing what you know now and having gone through it, that would bring a sense of comfort?
It's something that I live by all the time, and even before I was diagnosed with cancer, it was something that I used to teach my students when I was a fourth grade teacher. And that's choose faith, not fear. And I just find it to be so powerful. What do faith and fear have in common? They're both a belief in an outcome that hasn't happened yet. Do we usually have control over the outcome? Not usually. I was diagnosed with cancer. It is what it is. There's nothing that I'm going to do with my emotional state. My emotional state is not going to change the outcome. Well, actually, I don't believe that to be totally true. Let me back up.
Yeah.
Choose faith, not fear. When I was diagnosed with cancer, yes, it was extremely scary, and the beginning part was the hardest when you're waiting for all the pathology to come back and you're waiting to find out what your plan is. For me, I was like, let's hurry up and get to the plan because I want to start this. I'm ready to stand up and fight. That's one of the things I thought, going back to your question. I can either lay down and cry or stand up and fight. And to me, that wasn't really, that was a no-brainer for me. I'm going to stand up and fight. Let's go. We're just going to do this. This is what I'm doing for the next year. With that, choose faith, not fear, is I'm going to believe that the outcome is going to be good. Because if I believe that the outcome is going to be good, I'm not going to waste this whole next year of my life worrying about all the things that could go wrong. The outcome is the outcome. Did I listen to my doctors and do what they told me to do? Absolutely. But my mindset was the outcome is going to be good. Even if the outcome had been different and my tumor didn't dissipate and, shrink away, and even if I wasn't finished with treatment at this point, the outcome is the outcome. So I could have spent that whole year worrying and being miserable for a year, or I could have spent that whole year believing that in the end it's all going to be okay. And by believing that it's going to be okay, I'm not wasting time.
Yeah.
So whatever the outcome is, the outcome is. I do believe that with having that mindset of it's going to be okay puts you in a better mental position to be able to handle all of the negative things that are thrown at you throughout.
It's interesting when you say that, because on a very practical level, if you and I knew that tomorrow we had to experience something that we didn't know was going to be either good or bad.
Right.
And that's let's just say that's tomorrow. Right now, today, you and I could both choose if we think it's going to go well tomorrow or we think it's going to go negatively tomorrow. Either way, the event is still tomorrow.
Yes.
But how we choose to feel about how that might go has a tremendous impact on actually how we feel and how we perform today.
Right.
So I love you sharing that, how you know it's going to be a process. You can't control how the outcome is going to be.
Right.
But your choice to be positive and your choice to be and to have, expect good has an immediate impact on what you're doing right now.
Absolutely.
Regardless of, and we know that that's going to impact the end, but regardless of what that end is, it has an immediate impact on what your day-to-day present experience is.
And, you know, I also have to say, I agree with that. That was a great summary. My positive attitude actually, that made other people reach out to me and say, wow, you have such an amazing attitude, and how do you do that? And so what are those people doing? They're lifting me up. They're filling me up. They're encouraging me. They're saying, wow, you're doing an amazing job. You're an inspiration. You know, I definitely had days where I felt terrible, and, you know, and that's okay. Believe me, it wasn't like sunshine and rainbows. But, you know, if I had been, oh, poor me, the whole way through, I would have had sympathy from people. Oh my gosh, Heather, are you okay today? What can I do for you? And it's people, they mean well, but it's, you know, like that to me would bring me down versus, man, you're doing a great job. I'm so impressed with your, you know, your attitude about this, and what can I do to help you? And it's just different. It's the, what can I do to help you? Is so much better than, how can I help you, Heather?
Yeah.
And so by putting it out there and having that choose faith, not fear, believing in the good, looking for the good, you attract that energy back, and those, and people around you begin to, they're giving it to you. So it fills you up.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you do have a choice. You do have a choice, not of the outcome per se, but you have a choice of how you're going to respond to it.
Absolutely. And that's the only thing we do have control over. We don't have control over what people say to us, our circumstances. We have no control over a lot of our lives, but what we do have control over is, how am I going to react to my circumstances? That's it. That's all you can control. And I say this all the time, your feelings are your feelings, and you're entitled to those feelings. And so I try not to say to people, oh, you shouldn't be mad, you shouldn't feel sad, because guess what? They feel mad, they feel sad. It's what do I do with those feelings? That's where your power is.
Excellent. Now, and I know that we were talking, we didn't want this whole podcast to be about that, but I feel there's just no way to sort of ignore and celebrate the fact that this has been a big chunk of your life, of your experience of the past year, and to reflect on that, I think is important.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, let's move on. You are Happiness Heather, and who created Heather's Happiness Hour. For any of you listeners out there who didn't hear Heather's first podcast with us a few months ago, she is a life coach for kids here in Jupiter, Florida. And a few months ago, she created a local group called Heather's Happiness Hour. It meets once a month in Jupiter with a different theme each month. And my wife and I have been to a few of them. We love them. We missed the most recent one. But I want to go back and talk about a few of these and sort of what you were thinking about as far as the themes. Now, back in December, the theme of December was too much, not enoughness. Now, I know what that means, but for the listeners out there, what does that mean to you?
So too much, not enoughness is, we all suffer from it. I'm not skinny enough, rich enough, smart enough, fast enough. It can be, my kids didn't eat enough vegetables today. It can be, I don't have a nice enough car. So it can be emotional. It can be physical. It can be material things. But basically, too much, not enoughness is we're always looking for more, which in a way is good, but when you beat yourself up over, I don't have enough right now, whatever it is, you're not living in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe you have to plan for your future. You know, I'm not like crazy, oh, live for the moment, we could all die tomorrow, and so, you know, let's, you know, spend all of our money, and not frivolous things like that, but it's just kind of like, be where you are and make the best of what you have, and you are enough. I always wear a t-shirt that kind of goes along with my theme when we have Heather's Happiness Hour, and the shirt that I wore in December said be you to full, with the you know, the middle part being YOU, beautiful, because whatever you are enough. And one of the things that I said at that meeting is your value doesn't decrease just because someone else fails to see your worth. And I think that's probably a famous quote that I got from somewhere, and I, of course, am not going to remember who said that. But you know, you are enough. And if somebody thinks that you're not enough, that's about them, not about you.
Yeah.
And that is something that cancer helped me through. You know, the expectations that other people have for you, they're putting that on you. Now, if you, it's your choice whether you take that on or you say, nah, I'm good.
So what do you do personally to deal with your own sense of not enoughness?
Mostly, I just try to be very mindful of it, and I call myself out on it when I'm having those moments of whatever it is. Because when you call yourself out on it, you can kind of laugh at yourself, and it puts things back into perspective, and then I can just remember I am enough. I'm doing enough. I have enough. And really, it's not only when you believe that you are enough, the message that you're sending your kids, if you have kids, is amazing, because we want our kids to value who they are and feel like they are enough as well.
Yeah.
So it's really just that mental check. It's just being mindful of when I have it. Do I always know what to do about it? No. But a lot of times I just laugh at myself and say, oh, too much not enoughness. There it is again.
Excellent. And now, unfortunately, this past January, or the meeting that just happened recently, the less is more. So starting out the new year with the theme of less is more, what was your thought behind that?
The less is more is, again, kind of like be where you are. When you're always looking for more, it's hard to be thankful for what you have. And again, that can be materially or just who you are and where you are in your personal story, in your journey of your life. It's kind of like the grass isn't greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it.
Mm-hmm.
And so less is more. We talked a lot about what do I need. Of course, this is kind of funny because here I am with the, you know, live yes and podcast. But we talked about what do I need to say yes to less.
Yes.
And that is, what am I doing that is not bringing me joy, that is not totally 100%, you know, absolutely mandatory, I have to do this or something catastrophic will happen. What can I say yes to less so that I can take care of myself? I went back to, you know, when you're on the airplane and the flight attendant is giving you the, you know, put the oxygen mask on yourself first and then help the child. You have to take care of yourself first or you don't have anything left for everyone else. So it was really kind of about taking care of yourself. And the majority of the people who come to Heather's Happiness Hour, they are women. A lot of them are moms. And as parents, we tend to put so much into our kids that we kind of forget about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to have a whole year of me taking care of me. And I let a lot of things go with my family and a lot of things go with my business because I just said this year I'm taking care of me, and that was a great perspective to have. And you know, it doesn't have to be cancer. It can be I'm just totally burnt out on doing 17 activities with my kids and driving them from place to place. And you have to take time for you because you are enough.
Yeah, yeah. And we all know that the more we feel that we have to do, the more that we're going to figure out that we have to do, and the more we're going to, which goes right back into the not enoughness again.
Yeah.
It's you get on that hamster wheel, you're going to keep rolling and rolling and rolling, and there is no end to it.
Right, right.
And it's funny, you know, the whole I always have to throw out the occasional clarification with live yes and. And I just did a workshop this past week, and I say to people all the time, I preach living yes and. Living yes and does not mean that you're saying yes to everything that comes along.
Right.
It actually means saying no, probably to more that you're saying yes to. It's saying no to all of those things that are actually preventing you from living your bigger yes.
Right.
And our day and our life is filled with so many distractions, and actually so many good distractions that on their own, there's nothing wrong with them. But when we've got to be really, really clear about what our bigger yes is. And like you said, you know, the grass is greener where you water it. We need to continue to water the areas of our life that allow us to be bigger into our yes by saying no to some of the smaller right. yeses.
And yeah. I love that you said living your bigger yes, because that's one of the things that I said at Happiness Hour was, you know, what are you saying yes to? Because every time you're saying yes to something, you're probably saying no to something else.
Yeah.
So I had said, after I said... you know, you need to say yes less. I was feeling like I had to throw out that disclaimer for you. And I said, wait a minute, I'm not really saying that you can't say yes. I'm saying let's prioritize
yeah.
your yes.
Yeah.
And so that's really what it's about. And so for, I think because of my last year going through cancer, you know, a lot of what I'm doing now is taking care of myself. And I want to help people to believe that they are worth it, that they're worthy of taking care of themselves. And so that's kind of where, that's how it evolved, and that's where I'm going with the Happiness Hour.
Yeah. And that idea of taking care of yourself, and I know obviously we're just into 2016, and it is the time for resolutions and new commitments, and a great opportunity for people to actually try to make some resolutions or commitments to make more time for themselves or to take care of themselves. Is there anything that you are doing or trying to do differently at the beginning of 2016 to take better care of your bigger yes?
Absolutely. I actually attempted to start this at the beginning of 2015, but then, you know, that darn cancer got in the way. So I just kind of threw it right out the window. But I love this new thought, this new philosophy of choosing one word. And I thought that I was kind of, I didn't come up with it. I'm not trying to take, you know, credit for it. But I thought when I came across this a year ago, I thought, wow, this is so cool. And a whole year later, I'm looking it up again because I wanted to share this with people at Happiness Hour. And I'm noticing that it's everywhere. So it's really catching on, this whole thought of choosing one word to kind of live by. And what I love about choosing one word versus having a resolution is choosing one word gives you a little bit more grace. You can be easier on yourself with a resolution. If you're saying, well, I'm going to be healthier in the new year, and I'm going to go to the gym 4 times a week, and I'm going to cut out the sugar, and you know, I'm not going to drink soda, and you have all these things that you're going to do, it's really easy to fall off the wagon, eat the sugar, drink yeah. the soda. I wanted to go to the gym 4 days this week, but I only made it one. And then you feel like a failure because
yeah.
in your 1 week, everything that you did, or the lack of the things that you did, everything went against your resolution. So you just give up. You're like,
sure.
I'm a failure. It was
yeah.
too hard. I'm not going to do it. Whereas if you pick one word, your one word, it's for the whole year. And it kind of evolves. And your goal is at the end of the year, maybe you're healthier.
Yeah.
For me, my one word, the word that I chose was structure. And structure, that can be, it has to do with my health. You know, I have a plan in place for being healthier, and I have a plan in place for putting more time into my business and kind of rebuilding it, because that, you know, definitely took a back seat over the last year. But what the really good thing is, by adding more structure into my day, if I have a day where I was going to go to the gym, but I didn't make it to the gym, I don't have to throw out my resolution of
yeah, yeah.
becoming healthier, because I can say, okay, well, I didn't do it today. Tomorrow's another day. And this is a year-long project. So I like to think of it as a, you know, a year-long, how am I going to evolve and grow over this next year, and rather than I have this one goal of being healthier.
And isn't it amazing how our ego really loves to try to sabotage things? So you could have 6 amazing days in a row, have a bad 7th day, and our reaction a lot of times wants to be just quit and scrap it
yep.
because you had a bad day.
Yeah.
yet you might have been 6 out of 7, right. or whatever. Right. If you were a Major League Baseball player, you'd be the best player in baseball if you were successful 6 out of 7 times.
Yep.
Yeah, when it comes to us trying to make some changes that that improve our big picture life, we really beat ourselves up and fall off of it.
Yeah.
What I was talking to a friend yesterday, and she was asking me about, and I think, I've shared this with everyone, is that for 2016, I don't really have a word per se as much as I'm committed to doing a different random act of kindness every day for 2016. And she said, what has been the biggest thing thus far that I've noticed about it? And for me, it's that since I know every day I have to do something, it's the intention of looking for an opportunity is always sort of front and center in my head. And what I love about the one word idea is that if you have that one word front and center in your head every day, you're looking for opportunities to be more patient or to be more healthy or to be more respectful. Whatever someone's word is, it's wow, okay, I have an opportunity. Oh, I can make a better choice, or I can extend myself. And so it just kind of keeps things front and center in your thought.
It does. And and I love that you reminded me of that, because you're the one word, it keeps you very, you know, like you said, front and center. It keeps you very intentional about the majority of your choices. So am I living my one word right now, or am I not living my one word right now? And if I'm not, it's okay.
Yeah.
I can pay attention to it. I can grow through it, and I can make a different choice the next time. And I don't have to beat myself up over the one choice I made. Because imagine if you beat yourself up over every choice that you made for the entire year that had to do with your one word.
Yeah.
That would suck. So you have to be kind to yourself, mm-hmm. and allow yourself to slack off sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not about perfection. My family, each of us chose one word, and it was amazing because each family member really chose a word that, in my opinion, of course, that's, you know, my opinion, and I'm judging whether I think they chose a good word or not. Luckily for me, I was pleased with everyone's word, and I didn't have to have a little ego check.
You didn't pre-write everyone's word.
No,
that's a great word, sweetie, but here's your real word.
Here's your real word. Yeah, it doesn't work like that. You have to choose your own one word, your own word. But my family picked really, really good words, and my oldest son, before he gave me his word, he's like, oh, I really don't want to tell you my word. I'm like, why? Why wouldn't you want to tell me your word? Well, because every time I'm not living my word, you're going to call me out on it. And he wasn't totally off base in saying that to me, because that I can completely understand from his perspective why he would say that. There is some truth to that. I tend to be an all or nothing person. But what I was able to say to him, I was able to provide him a little bit of comfort in saying, this is a process. None of us are looking for perfection.
Yeah.
It's a process. We're hoping to grow over the next year. And I want him to be paying attention to his choices. It's not so much for me to pay attention to his choices. It's for him to pay attention to his choices. Because with kids, if I'm the one who's paying attention to his choices and he's not doing it, I'm just one more adult telling him telling him what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And I want him to own it. It's his word.
Yeah.
So, and he actually, with my help, but he actually has mapped out a plan to slowly start working on his one word. Mm. And I'm proud of him. He's, it wasn't too much. We kind of came up with it together, and I said, does it feel doable? Because if it feels like it's too much and it's not doable, then we need to scrap that plan and back off a little bit, eat a little bit, because you have to be kind to yourself.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I know my wife and I, actually, I was listening to a podcast with Rainn Wilson. Rainn Wilson, some of you may know, was Dwight on The Office. And he also started Soul Pancake, for those of you online, Soul Pancake, which was really inspired how he started that. Really, really interesting, really fascinating, inspiring, and spiritual guy. But he, in his podcast, was talking about this book. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called the Family Book of Virtues. The Family Book of Virtues. And so my wife and I purchased it, and it is essentially 52 different virtues. And so you can work on a new virtue with your family once a week.
Love it.
And so we're 3 weeks into it now. And so every Monday is, we sit down, we have a routine with the kids that every morning we kind of have some time where we do some listening, some journaling, and some inspiring reading. So we've added the virtue to it now where we introduce the virtue on Monday, and then every day we just do a quick little check-in. How are we doing? And for those of you who are listening out there and you're picturing my children sitting with their legs folded, their hands in their laps, and nodding in agreement to what mom and dad bring, that is not the picture. Picture eyes rolled, wiggled children, resisting a lot of what we do, but yet we still get little nuggets, and I am not painting this picture of our family because I think in a lot of ways we're the furthest from it. but it's something, again, that we're like, you know what, there's going to be some value in it. We can't control what that value is going to be, but there's something there.
Yep. And, you know, I love that you just put that out there, your authentic picture of what it really looks like. I will say that when my family sat around the dinner table and talked about what our one word was going to be, the picture that I had in my head of how it was probably going to go was not pretty. It wasn't a pretty picture. I was expecting resistance. But in that one moment, it was like the angels were singing, because in that one moment, my family all really came together, really reflected, and came up with these amazing words. But we've had so many moments that you just described with the eyes rolling and the heavy digging in and resistance. So that was the one little nugget. That was the silver lining. That was the one moment of goodness that came from all of the eyes rolling.
Right.
Like they
right.
got it. They know what I was trying to do. And for in that moment, it clicked and it worked. So like that was my little miracle.
Yes.
But most of the time, yes, it is the eyes rolled and the
right.
are you kidding me and the heavy
right.
sighs and the, you know, they keep trying to put their headphones and their earbuds back in. And you're like, no, we're not quite done here.
And again, it ties right back into the not enoughness, because I know any of you out there who read blogs or you listen to podcasts and you hear these people who are living the life, or they're raising their kids and everything sounds perfect and and then you listen to it for inspiration and you walk away dejected because you go, I could never do that. My kids would never do that. And so, more than anything, I want to be authentic that I've got, you know, I teach leadership, I teach performance. My 13-year-old daughter doesn't want to hear a lick of what I have to say.
Yep.
And so here I am, I'm always battling with this idea of, you know, are other parents judging me? Because clearly my daughter doesn't care about what I say, so why should their kids care about what I say?
And I run into that all the time as a life coach for kids. You know, my kids don't want to hear me. I can work miracles with other kids, but you know, when it comes to my own, and I definitely have that same thing, I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope my children are behaving appropriately, because if they're not, they're going to be like, man, that lady charges
a lot of
money.
She's a life coach? Wow.
She's a life coach for kids.
She can't even control her own. Good Lord. Yeah.
But you know, what we see is, you know, how we perceive it is not always how it is. And I just have a quick little story to share. I did a book study for parents of middle schoolers, which I'm actually going to be offering again coming up in February, based on a fantastic book called Middle School Makeover. But there was one mom in the group, and she happens to live in my neighborhood, and I went to an early morning workout. And I was driving home, and I didn't know where she lived at the time, but I'm driving home from the early morning workout, and I think that I see her at her house, and the bus stop is right there. And I see that she has a plate of something in her hands, and she's, you know, it's early in the morning, and it looks like she's dressed. She's not in her pajamas, and, you know, she looked put together, and her kids were there, and I see the kids, you know, running to the bus, like, not like a frantic run, like a, we're off to go to school, it's going to be the best day ever. And then I happened to, you know, it was that day we had the book study, and she came, and I said, do you live right on such and such a road? And she said, I do. I said, is the bus stop right in front of your house? And she said, it is. And I said, I saw you guys this morning. And she's like, oh no, what did you see? And so I told her about the picture that I had painted in my head. I'm picturing her with a plate of pancakes and, you know, breakfast on her beautiful front porch. And, you know, it was like that Leave It to Beaver moment where she's, you know, come on, children, let's have breakfast. And, oh, the bus is here. Have a great day. Bye, kids. And it just, in my eyes, it looked perfect and peaceful. And I thought, wow, that was amazing. And she said, oh, my gosh, you could not be farther from the truth. I had the pancakes and I had the plate in my hand because everybody was running late. And it was one of the most frantic mornings ever. And she said, thank God you didn't see or you didn't, you know, you're not seeing what I thought you saw. And but so your perception of what other people are living, that's it's not the way
it's
it is.
It's always right.
In my mind, I was looking at this perfect morning, and she's like, wow, that was so not the perfect morning. And I said, well, for the record, it looked amazing.
Yeah.
So.
It was like a real-life Facebook moment. Everything looked perfect, and in her world, it couldn't have been any further from the truth. Yeah, that's excellent. So. All right, so moving on to February, and so this podcast, if you're listening to this, it is towards the end of January, and so the date for the Happiness Hour in February is?
It's the first Friday of February.
First Friday of February.
Might be the 8th.
Let's go ahead and look at that, which is, where are you, February 6th? February 5th.
February 5th.
February 5th okay, is the first Friday.
Yes.
Okay. And that will be once again at the...
We actually, this month, we're not going to do it at the Jupiter Community Center. We are going to do a field trip. So the format's going to be a little bit different. We are actually talking about, since it's Valentine's Day, we actually, when we did our November Happiness Hour, we kind of were brainstorming, and one of the members said, what if we, for Valentine's Day, instead of doing it together, my original thought was it'll be like share the love. That was going to be the theme. And Sherry said, why don't we go to a nursing home and share the love there?
Yeah.
And it just kind of snowballed, and we were kind of brainstorming together, and I thought it was a fantastic idea. So we're going to go to a local nursing home or assisted living facility, and we're going to play games with those people. And and we kind of thought, you and I together today, Travis kind of came up with, instead of share the love, we'll do love big.
Love big. I love that. Yeah.
So we're going to play some games with some people who might not have a whole lot of love in their life. And, you know, it's just another way to to share a random act of kindness. And
absolutely. Absolutely.
Love it forward.
So for everyone who is local, you can come and be a part of that. And anyone who's listening to the podcast, I mean, obviously you can go and do that anytime, wherever you are.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's fantastic. So love big in February, which we all know has that random holiday in the middle called Valentine's Day and all the fun that goes along with that. I'm being sarcastic. So love big in February. All right, so how many happiness hours do you have under your belt now? Is it six?
First one was gratitude. Uh-huh. Second one was random acts of kindness. Third one was too much not enoughness. Fourth one was less is more.
And so this will be this will be number five.
Number five. And somebody said, I actually had one of my former clients, a 17-year-old high school student who is amazing, amazing young man. He came this past month to the first one, and he says, well, so I'm coming to all of these from now until the time that I go to college. He said, how many more are you having? And I said, I'm just going to keep on going. I don't have a number in mind.
Excellent. And so when you think about what it looks like now and what your original intention was, any surprises, anything interesting that you look back and go, wow, that was really cool, or I never expected that it would have or it would turn into this? Any reflections?
It's to be honest, it's kind of right where I expected it to be. I wouldn't say that I have had any huge surprises. I am always super excited when somebody that I don't personally know joins Heather's Happiness Hour on Facebook, because then I feel like, wow, it's really growing, which really was my initial vision. I really want it to get really big.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to need a bigger space to meet. You know, right now we're meeting at the Jupiter Community Center, and it's a perfect size.
Yeah.
But I would love to need a much bigger space.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting growth. You know, I'm one of those look for the good, expect the good. And so far, it's happening.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest things that I don't know if we talked about last time, probably not. I originally started it as a fee-based workshop to cover my cost, because we did gratitude journals the first time and we painted those really cool rocks last month.
And, and the random act of kindness kits.
Right,
which,
right. And that was the most expensive one. But so I charged a fee to cover my cost. You know, I'm not looking to make any money, but I can't, it can't cost me money. Mm-hmm. But so since the first one, I have had a couple of donations. A dentist actually, a dentist, hold on, Dr. Jackson at Da Vinci Dental.
Okay.
He's local. He's here in Jupiter. He actually donated all of the toothbrushes and toothpastes, toothpaste packets for our backpacks. And then an orthodontist, believe it or not, these people in the dental field, they're kind-hearted.
I've got a sister who's a dentist. Yeah, they do have kind hearts. Well, if you're pulling teeth all day, you gotta balance it out somehow.
Right. Yeah. So Dr. Lively in Stewart, he's an orthodontist, he actually, through a friend, made a really nice donation to Heather's Happiness Hour for the Random Acts of Kindness. And with his donation, I was able to turn my Happiness Hour from a fee-based group into a donation-based group.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he kind of backed me up. He covered me for a couple of months. And so I have been able to float it. So now whatever I get in donations 1 month goes towards future Happiness Hours. And, you know, I say, if you have $20, give me $20. If you have $5, I'll take $5. If you don't have any money this week, then don't give me any money. Just come and, you know, share the happiness.
Right, right. Fantastic. And so the next one is coming up. What did we say? February 5th?
Yes.
February 5th here in Jupiter. Now, Heather, how can people get a hold of you on social media?
So you should find me on Facebook, and you can just search Heather's Happiness Hour, and it should pop right up. And you can ask to join that group. I don't have a location yet. I have a couple of assisted living facilities in mind. I need to reach out to them and just kind of firm it up and, you know, commit to the date.
And on Instagram, you are Life Coach for Kids?
Correct.
And Twitter as well? Or just Instagram?
You know, I am on Twitter, but I am not very Twitter-ish.
Okay.
So I don't do much on Twitter. So I would say Instagram, Life Coach for Kids.
Facebook,
Heather's Happiness Hour. For kids also.
Okay.
And they can totally find me there. If for some reason they can't find Heather's Happiness Hour, they could shoot me a message through Life Coach for Kids, definitely.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Well, excellent. Excited about Love Big in February. And we do know that this is going to be a regular segment for every few months. And so every few months we'll have Heather on to talk about Heather's Happiness Hour as well as any other fun things going on. So thanks so much. Do you notice how much quieter it got as we're ending the podcast?
I wonder, did we scare them away?
I think so. It was, just so you know, we spoke for about an hour and a half before starting the podcast. It was busy but quiet. As soon as we started, we had a family of four with kids, which we love, but it was as if they were paid to come and be as loud as possible next to the podcast.
Yes, but that's life.
That's life, and we got to kind of yes and it.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much, Heather.
Great talking to you.